Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, Neshem, Yahushua HaMashiach. Abba, I come before you on this day of your holy Sabbath, and I beseech you, Abba, to forgive me for the sin that I've committed against you, and to cleanse me by the blood of Yahushua of my iniquity, that I may stand before you, that I may stand before your people, that I may teach the word that you place upon my heart, that you place in my mind. Abba, I ask you to lead me and guide me that I may have an understanding of your word according to your will. Use me in the manner that you see fit, Abba, that I may be pleasing in your sight. I come before you in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach on behalf of my family, grandchildren, my brothers and sisters of Beth Yahweh. And I beseech you, Abba, to bless each and every one of us with your divine protection, O shield of Abraham. Continue leading each and every one of us individually that we may walk according to your command. Strengthen us that we obey your voice and that we submit to your will. Extend to us your grace, your mercy, and forgive us for the sin that we have committed against you knowingly and unknowingly. Strengthen us, Abba, that we overcome our physical ailments. And I pray for those who are sick and who are suffering, Abba, that you heal them and that you bring them recovery according to your will. strengthen them, Abba, that they may endure. Abba, I pray that you strengthen each and every one of us mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, that we may all endure to the end. Lead us and guide us as we continue our discussion of your word of Brother Shaul, that you have inspired him to give to those who believe. In Yahushua's holy and most precious name, we give praise, glory, and honor to you, for you are worthy above all to be praised by the whole of creation. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Hallelujah. And welcome to Bina Dura, Understanding Torah, as we continue with our current topic, the truth about Christianity. Our subtopic for today, Bina Shelach Shaul Chu. So what we're going to do, we're going to continue taking a look at some of the writings of Brother Shaul that have been misinterpreted and, in some sense, mistranslated. We pray that I believe in God us all, that we come to a unity of heart and mind and spirit. How many of you within the hearing of my voice has accepted Yahushua HaMashiach as your Savior and your Redeemer? If you haven't already, today is the day of salvation for those who have a willing heart to open that heart and allow Yahushua HaMashiach to come in. Now, for those who are listening currently, I just ask that you shoot me a text to let me know that I'm coming through clearly. And also encourage you to get your notes, whatever by Achi, when we were using, regarding the sons of the serpent and the sons of Elohim. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15 today are our passages, Gudarabai, Shalom, Shalom, our passages that we want to open with because we want to set the tone of the premise of the lesson, which reads, "And no marvel, time disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also disguise themselves as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Now, we've been utilizing this passage for several teachers now. And my hope and my prayer is that each of you who are listening and who has been following along has taken some time to meditate on that, what it is that Brother Shaul is talking about. As was mentioned before, although our focus is Christianity, when Brother Shaul said that, this refers to any type of spokesperson, regardless of whether it be religious, philosophical, scientific, etc. Any type of spokesperson is still a minister of sorts, a teacher, if you will. Okay? In their mind, even when you think about somebody such as an atheist, right? A person who doesn't believe in a higher power. Even an atheist, when they're speaking to somebody about atheism and why they choose to believe that God does not exist, they are teaching that individual that they are interacting with reasons why they don't believe. In some instances, they may even turn to Holy Scripture. They may even point out what they perceive to be contradictions to encourage those that they are conversating with to stop believing in a supreme being if it so happens they also believe in the Most High. And my point in mentioning that, again, regardless of whether it be scientific, philosophical, or religious, when you think about these ministers who are disguising themselves as ministers of righteousness, in the mind of that atheist, he thinks or she thinks that they are right. And what does righteousness mean? A state of doing or condition of doing what is right. In their minds, they believe that the belief in God is a fairy tale. It's a fantasy. This is the stuff that comic books are made of. I've heard the Holy Scripture even compared to a comic book. You see? So we want to keep these things in mind. But I wanted to really highlight that particular verse as the ministers of righteousness based on what we're going to be looking at today. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, one of my favorite passages. Starting at verse 1. Again, this is Brother Shaul, but it's what he's saying in this passage that we really want to look at, because when it comes to the word of the Most High, one of the things I believe that Creator has really been instilling in the hearts and the minds of Bet Yahweh is what we're about to read from Brother Shaul right here. Okay, so verse 1, he says, "When I came to you, brothers, I didn't come with excellence of speech or of wisdom." In other words, Brother Shaul, he wasn't striving to be eloquent, as some people, you know, and every time I think about eloquence, the first person that comes to mind, the majority of the time, is Michael Eric Dyson. If you ever heard the brother speak, poetic. And a lot of the terms that he used, what I call big words, you know, he uses a lot of big words that people don't typically use in everyday speech. But he's so smooth with it, if you ever heard him speak before. But Brother Shaul is saying, I didn't come to speak to you all like that. He says, proclaiming to you the testimony of Elohim. For I determined not to know anything among you. Think about that. Isn't that the same thing that we've been taught and what has been instilled with us for years? We were taught not to get so much inside or beside ourselves in that we know something, because the fact of the matter is we know nothing. And we're going to see as we go along. We, in and of ourselves, know nothing. Okay. Again, verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you except Yahushua HaMashiach and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, fear, and in much trembling. Now, we've seen some of the adventures of Brother Shaul as we closed out the book of Acts. And Brother Shaul, he's been through some things. I mean, one of the last things that we read about him is that he was shipwrecked. And in one of his writings, he mentions that, matter of fact. He was shipwrecked. Can you imagine being shipwrecked? Can you imagine, you know, for those who have been on a cruise, something happened to that cruise ship, eventually you stuck out in the middle of the ocean? Or it crashes into something, and then everybody has to get off the ship, maybe into lifeboats. Can you just imagine what the brother was going through? But anyway, he's talking in this particular context I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. He said, my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of human wisdom. And for those who are listening, the translation that I'm using is W-E-B-A, W-E-B-A. Now listen to that, verse 4 again. My speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of human wisdom. Now when he says that, this is what I want you all to think of. Don't you know that you can take classes on speech? We, years ago, when we were involved in network marketing, and I've been involved in several of them, the last one where I kind of threw in a towel with that whole network marketing was prepaid legal. But what I learned is that you are basically being taught to be a motivational speaker and encourage people to buy whatever that product is. And what I found out in all of these different network marketing businesses, they often recommend certain writing, certain books, and those books will teach you that. Well, Brother Shaul was saying, that's not what I'm trying to do. And I want to emphasize, neither are we. Our speech and our preaching are not in persuasive words of human wisdom. And let's pick up where he left off. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Hold on to that right there. Okay? Because one of the things that we want to keep at the forefront of our mind, and when I say that, I'm thinking some of you may hear that and say, well, that's a lot of stuff to keep at the forefront of our mind. It sounds like a lot to you in that word, but you realize it's all part of the same thing. If we want to word it, keeping Yah at the forefront of our mind, or we want to word it, keeping Yahshua at the forefront of our mind, well, that encompasses everything. So just look at it that way, okay? He says again, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. In other words, when we are teaching, when we are ministering to someone, it's not us trying to configure words based on human wisdom. We're supposed to allow Ruach HaKodesh to lead and to guide us to speak to them. Okay? That's very, very important that we at least have that understanding. He says, verse 5, that your faith wouldn't stand in the wisdom of men. Now he's explaining why I'm not coming to you with persuasive words of human wisdom. I'm not coming to you with excellence of speech. I'm coming to you in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? Because I don't want your faith to be in the wisdom of men. Think about that. Now, here's a question. If our faith is in the wisdom of men, what eventually happens to it? I can give you an example. And we talked about this last Shabbat, I believe. Think about the many times people have predicted that Mashiach was coming. There have been many dates. And speaking of prepaid legal, I remember we went to, I think we were in New Jersey, but New York, someplace. There was this big convention. And it just so happened to be in 1999. And you know what was the talk of the town in 1999? Y2K. Now, for the religious folks, they was of the thought that that's when the Messiah is going to come back. 2,000 years. It's 2,000 years. Messiah is going to come back 2,000 years. Y2K. Everything going to fall apart. Nothing happened of those people who believe that something would. Because their faith, even though it will be misconstrued as faith in the Bible, it was never faith in the Bible. It was faith in men's wisdom. Because if it was the word that said that, then something would have happened. But it wasn't. So if our faith is in men's wisdom, eventually our faith will falter. Why? Because man can't save us. So Brother Shaul, what he's emphasizing and why I'm emphasizing this, you'll see later on, he's emphasizing, again, verse 5, that your faith wouldn't stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of Elohim. That's why when we speak in the demonstration of the Spirit power. That's why we have to learn how to hear from that Spirit. We have to learn how to be moved by that Spirit. Because we don't want to get involved and tell people something that is misleading to them. We want the Creator to speak through us, like Brother Dawid said, how the Word of the Most High was, or the Spirit of the Most High was in him, and his Word was on his tongue, or something along those lines. But you know what I'm talking about. Verse 6, he says, now he's going to emphasize even more. We speak wisdom. He's talking about Yisrael. And more importantly, he's talking about those who are teachers, the Mure. We speak wisdom, however, among those who are full grown, yet a wisdom not of this world, nor of the rulers of this world, who are coming to nothing. But we speak Elohim's wisdom, a mystery, the wisdom that has been hidden, which Elohim foreordained before the world for our glory, which none of the rulers of this world has known. Or had they known it, they wouldn't have crucified Adonai of glory. Okay? Now, these next two passages I'm reading from the Contemporary English Version, CEV. I just like the way that it says what it says, the verse 9 and 10. So we're going to switch to another version for these two verses particularly. And it says, but as it is written, Elohim has planned for people who love him is more than eyes have seen or ears have heard. It has never even entered our minds. Elohim's Spirit has shown you everything. His Spirit finds out everything, even what is deep in the mind of Elohim. And I really want y'all to focus on that. And again, some more homework for you in your quiet time. Meditate on that. That is very important. That about the last verse. The word itself is important, man. I mean, that's why it's the entire work is important. And everybody, I'm sure, knows that already. So let me keep moving. Picking up in verse 11, going back to the WEBA. He says, for who among men knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of Elohim except Elohim's Spirit. That's important to his word. And we're going to see as we go through the message for today. When it comes to the word of the Most High, one of the problems that Israel is facing today, everybody has an opinion. Everybody has their viewpoint on what this passage means or what that passage means, etc. What we have to understand when it comes to the word of the Most High, sure, everybody can read it and they can try to figure out what it means on their own, but more simpler, can it be that simple? How about just asking the author, what did he mean? And when I say something like that, it sounds like, yeah, that is simple. But man doesn't do that. You know why? Man doesn't want to find out. to be quite frank. See, the world has this mindset, and we're talking about the seed of the serpent, right? The world has God a fair understanding, you know? So if there's something that the Torah teaches and it goes against what a person personally believes or personally feels it should be, what they oftentimes will do, they will try to reconfigure the word to match what they believe. That's what we do. We reconfigure it to match what it is that we want it to say, which is why we're discussing Brother Shaul's writings. Think about the carnal mind, right? Think about when Brother Shaul said how the carnal mind is enmity, simply meaning opposition, opposed, and enemy to the Most High, right? Now, he also said that it is not subject to the Torah, neither indeed can it be. Therefore, those who are in the flesh cannot please Elohim, right? So, naturally speaking, we're talking about human nature. We're going to see something as we go along. We don't want to obey the voice of the Most High. We don't want to. We want to do what we want to do. And I'm thinking about tonight, Shabbat. You know, I mean, it had a little bit of snowfall last night. And in my mind, just before the teaching, I was wondering, what is it that people are doing tonight? And in my mind, a lot of different thoughts came across my mind. But one thought came across my mind. I know some people are having a birthday and they're celebrating their birthday somewhere at some house party or some club. They're throwing back drinks and they're having a good time. Not even thinking about the Most High at all. You know? Not a care in the world or something. We live in that. You have some people in the world, and the vast majority of people in the world, who could care less about the Most High. And they're doing their own thing. Well, you have some people who are still part of the world, but they are also a part of a religion, and they feel the exact same way. But it's just directed towards religion. They want to do it the way they want to do it. They want to believe or they want to find a God that they have shaped and molded to their likeness, to their image. You understand what I'm saying? Opposed to allowing the Creator to shape and mold us to His. Let's continue. Verse 11 again. For who among men knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of Elohim except Elohim's spirit. But we received not the spirit of the world. Hear that? The spirit that's in the sons of disobedience, the spirit of the world, that principle that is referred to as sin, that the Most High said was basically lurking for Cain. We have all of these evidences, okay? Again, I'm sorry, verse 12. But we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from Elohim, that we might know the things that were freely given to us by Elohim. Now, when he says that, what he's telling us, he's tied right back into what he mentioned, the eye hasn't seen, the ear hasn't heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, what the Most High has prepared for them that love him, right? He's going right back to that point, and what he's saying is this. We have Ruach HaKodesh, we have the Holy Spirit, which is from the Most High, that we might know the things that were freely given to us by Elohim. In other words, he reveals them to us by his Spirit. The only way we come to an understanding, Bina Dura, of the Word, the Creator of that Word, has to reveal it to us, period. We can't figure this out on our own. He did not design it to be that way. He designed it so that you have to seek the Torah from the priest's lips. who was chosen to be the messenger of Yahweh Shabaoth, Yahweh of hosts. The order. Well, let's continue. And I'm emphasizing that again. We want to contrast everything that I just said with the fact that the adversary is disguising himself as an angel of light, and he has ministers, he has teachers, he has prophets, he has priests, he has pastors, he has imams, he has doctors, professors, who also are disguising themselves as ministers of righteousness. Keep that in mind. That's why we're going this route. We want to see something. Okay? Again. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom... Oh, I'm sorry. I missed something. Let me go back up to verse. But we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from Elohim, that we might know the things that were freely given to us by Elohim. Okay, verse 13. Which things also we speak. Now he's referencing whatever it is that was freely given to us by Elohim. This is what he's talking about. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. We're going to speak it, but we're not going to utilize the eloquence or the articulation that you learn by taking up a college course and learning speech. That's not what we're learning. The Creator is moving you, and he's speaking through you. Okay? He says, Holy Spirit teaches. Do you hear that? But which the Holy Spirit teaches. And then listen to this part. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. In other words, you know what you're doing? You're taking that library that we refer to as Torah, which has the foundation of Chumash, the first five books, and everything else is built upon that foundation all the way up to Revelation. That's the library that the Most High has provided for his people. Library, what the Holy Spirit is going to do is going to lead us and guide us through that word, and the Holy Spirit is going to compare spiritual things with spiritual things, okay? In verse 14, listen to what he says now. Now, the natural man, when it says natural man, this is synonymous with saying the carnal man, all right? Now, the natural man doesn't receive the things of Elohim's spirit. Remember, the carnal mind is enmity. It is not subject to the Torah, neither indeed can it be. So that explains why in this letter he says, now the natural man doesn't receive the things of Elohim's spirit. Hold up now. When he says the natural man in contrast to the spiritual man. The spiritual man is the man who is inhabited by Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. So if it's a natural man, he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. So how many natural men do you, or natural women, for that matter, do we have in the world today who are teaching the word of Yah? Think about that. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They're natural men. They're not spiritual. Listen to what he says. Now, the natural man doesn't receive the things of Elohim's spirit, for they are foolishness to him, and he can't know them. They are foolishness to him, and he can't know them because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, in order for us to understand the word which was written by inspiration, holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, in order for us to understand that word, we have to have his spirit. and we have to be taught by someone who has experience. Hopefully everybody understands that. A person does not have the authority to raise up and deem themselves a teacher sent by the Most High. Man does not have that authority. Only the Most High has the authority to choose his teachers, to choose who represents him. That's it. Many people will take issue with that, but it's the truth. That's what the Torah teaches. And it's always taught that. It has never changed. It has never deviated from that. All you need to do, go back to the history that we've been reading for years now. Why do you think he told us to go through the entire word, not just the first five books over and over? The entire word is his work, not just the first five books. He didn't stop speaking with Moshe. If that's the case, here's the question. Why did he tell Moshe, bring Joshua up to the front? And I'm saying Joshua so we can make that distinction. You know, Yahushua as well. Bring Joshua up here before the people and let them know that he is going to be the one taking your place when you go off the scene. You know why? Because the work continues. That's why. There's another meaning to that too, but talk about that another time. We already talked about it, speaking of which, but anyway. Verse 15. But he who is spiritual discerns all things. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit that's teaching, that same spirit from Elohim that freely gives us the knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding of Elohim. Okay? Again, verse 15. But he who is spiritual deserves all things, and he himself is judged by no one. For who has known the mind of Adonai that he should instruct him? We have Mashiach's mind, the mind of Messiah. Do we understand that? How do we have the mind of the Messiah? Well, one of the things we talked about in an earlier broadcast, when we think about the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, well, that is a portion of Yahushua that's being given to us. And of course, we know that Yahushua comes from the Father. So it's also a part of the Father. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, guess what? We have just received the mind of the Messiah. Now, here's what we have to understand. It's not like we get the mind of the Messiah and immediately we know everything. No. It has to grow. It has to be nurtured in us. That's why he said, going back again, if you continue in my word, you have to stick with them. You know, you got people who think, I'm not going to go in that direction. Let's keep it moving. Okay, so the reason we wanted to start here going through this passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is we wanted to establish that in order for us to understand the Torah, it is by revelation. Revelation comes by way of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Let's substantiate that now. In Yochanan, which is John chapter 14 and verse 26, it says, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Okay? Now, we want to contrast that, all right, with what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, when we go down to the later verses, that's where it says that Satan is transformed into an angel of light. His minister is transformed into a minister of righteousness. But it starts off talking about another Yahushua, but then it also mentions, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received. And leading to Satan transformed into an angel of light and having ministers transformed as a minister of righteousness. Okay? Now, another passage we want to use to contrast that is in 1 Yohanan or 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, where he says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit," implying there are other spirits other than the Holy Spirit. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of Elohim." Okay? So keep these things in mind. And we're emphasizing these things for a reason. Now, into Bereshit, which is Genesis chapter 15, starting at verse 1. There's something that we want to see here first before we look at what Brother Shaul wrote that is being misconstrued or misinterpreted today. Okay? If everybody's still with me, shoot me a text and let me know. Genesis chapter 15, starting at verse 1. "After these things, Yahweh's word came to Avram in a vision, saying, 'Don't be afraid, Avram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward.' Avram said, 'Adonai Yahweh, Udah Rabbah, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And he who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus.' Avram said, 'Behold, you have given no sons to me. And behold, one born in my house is my heir. Behold, Yahweh's word came to him, saying, This man will not be your heir, but he who will come out of your own body will be your heir.'" "Yahweh brought him outside and said, 'Look toward the sky and count the stars, if you are able to count them.' He said to Avram, 'So will your offspring be.'" Verse 6. "He believed in Yahweh, who credited to him for righteousness." Avram at the time believed Yahweh, who credited it to him for righteousness. Torah. You look up and also, this is the first time that the word aman is used in Holy Scripture. That is the word translated as believed. Okay? You find that in number 539 in the Hebrew lexicon. It says properly to build up or support, to foster as a parent, or the primary meaning is that of providing stability and confidence like a baby would find in the arms of a parent. Now, that being said, this is the word aman. This is the word which is the primitive root for the word emunah, which means faith, right? Okay, now, based on that definition, when it says properly to build up or support, to foster as a parent or nurse. Now, compare that to what Yahushua told Yisrael, how they had to be converted and come to him like little children. Did he say that? This is why. The Creator wants us to have a childlike faith in him. And when I say childlike, I'm not talking about in the context of immaturity. I'm talking about how a child trusts everything that their parent tells them. They rely on them. They have confidence in them. Aman. Okay? But the passage says that Avram believed Yahweh, who counted his belief, his faith, his trust for righteousness. That's the Torah teaching that. How do we become righteous? Begins with faith. Okay? Begins with faith. Simple. We all know that. That's one of the basic teachings that you learn about in Hebrews chapter 6. That's one of the principal teachings. Faith, I believe it says in Hebrews chapter 11. Matter of fact, let's turn to that briefly about faith and how important faith is. Down in verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing to him. For he who comes to Elohim must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So when it comes to faith, without faith, we have no relationship with the Most High. And I believe everybody within the hearing of my voice understands and believes that. Okay? So, another passage before we get into Brother Shaul's writing. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. It says, regard the patience of Adonai as salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given to him, wrote to you. In those, there are some things that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unsettled twist, as they do to the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Now, we read this last week, and the focus, again, was letting people know how whenever it comes to teaching that you are no longer obligated to observe Torah, they run to something that Brother Shaul wrote, okay? But another point we want to look at in regard to this passage, the fact that he says, which the ignorant and unsettled twist, as they also do to the other scriptures. The Bible is not something new. Even Mashiach told the leaders of his day, you do err not knowing the scriptures. Okay? So this was something that was happening. All right. That being said, let's go to Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 1, and we're going to look at a passage that many people run to try to prove that we are no longer obligated to keep the Torah. Okay? So it says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer of Elohim for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of Elohim, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of Elohim's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of Elohim. For Mashiach is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Now, thing I want to say, this is the King James Version. I want to really emphasize what we were talking about last Shabbat. When it comes to this type of teaching, what we have to understand when it comes to the Bible and translations, et cetera, okay? So you have believers who in their mind, they believe that what this passage is saying is that, and it's funny, you know, I happened to come across a video. It may have been YouTube or TikTok. It was one of them. But I saw the excerpt of a pastor, and he was reading this passage. He said it with so much confidence and so much conviction. And then the congregation, they was just clapping their heads and amen and hallelujah, et cetera. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. And then he went on to explain that we don't have to keep that Old Testament law. Of course, I'm not saying it verbatim, but you get the point. But that was the explanation that followed reading this verse. Okay. Now, when it comes to Bible translation, and we're going to get into what that verse actually talks about, the New English Bible says it this way, same verse. For Christ ends the law and brings righteousness for everyone who has faith. And then in the New English Bible, they apparently, you know how some of the Bibles, they have footnotes, and you have those notes either in the center, and how they often do it, you know, in the Old Testament, they may have the footnotes in the middle of it, and then on the New Testament, they may have little footnotes on the side of it in what they call the margins. Well, in the margins, it says, Christ is the end of the law as a way to righteousness for everyone who has faith. And this is that they're basically repeating the verse and they're explaining it because this is what they believe. Okay. The Jerusalem Bible translates it like this. But now the law has come to an end with Christ, and everyone who has faith may be justified. Okay. And then you have the Good News Bible, which translates it this way. For Christ has brought the law to an end so that everyone who believes is put right with God. Okay? Now, I wanted to read those translations for an example. And remember everything that was said previously. Okay? Whoever was responsible for making these translations, it is clear that they are already of the belief that this passage means that the Messiah came to do away with the law. That is not what that passage is saying. That's not what it's saying. But because people believe that, when they come up with new translations, they're going to translate it, and they, and in their translation, they're going to make it clearer what's being said. And this is what we saw, reading each of the translations that we just read. Okay? Now let's go back up. Let's start at verse 1. Let's take our time. Let's get to it and see exactly what's being said. So here's Brother Shaul, and this is his letter to the Romans, the assembly in Rome. He said, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to Elohim is for Israel, that they might be saved. He says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of Elohim. So he's acknowledging that Israel, they have a zeal for the Most High. But then he says, but not according to knowledge. It didn't happen to Israel. Okay? And Brother Shaul, he you can look at him in some sense as an expert of all things Israel. That's why he, when he gave his pedigree, I'm a Pharisee. See, the Pharisee, the pedigree, the separated ones. You know, they were engaged in in-depth study of the Torah, okay? So he knew the word, but he also knew and understood their mindset because he came from that mindset. So listen to what he says again, verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of Elohim, but not according to knowledge. So something, like the Messiah said, you do err not knowing the scriptures, not according to knowledge, right? Verse 3, now he's going to give further explanation. For they, being ignorant of Elohim's righteousness. Now, we wanted to read what happened with Avram first. Because according to the word, Avram believed Yahweh, and it was counted to him for righteousness. This is what Brother Shaul is fully aware of and has a better understanding of now, okay? It connects to faith. Now, because we went the route of Judaism, okay, there's some things that we've also learned. Now, for those who were here for some time, you may remember this. Some of you may not remember it. Nevertheless, one of the things that we found out in regard to Judaism and receiving the Holy Spirit, they believe that there are 10 steps that you have to go through. And after that, test can receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I wanted to give that example because Israel became so focused on what they had to do, to a fault, though. To a fault. Because, and I say to a fault because what happened, they began to move away from faith. That was a problem. So what they did, it's like when you get into the rabbinical teachers and stuff like that, and how they added this and they added this, and in their mind that you keep adding these different dimensions to a command, and in your mind you think, let me give you an example instead of me just saying that. So let's talk about the unclean, right? So, and I'm going to give you an example that Rabbi always gave. So let's just say something that's being unclean. So now, what the scripture says, not to touch whatever's unclean. Let's say it's your wife or whatever that may be, right? So now, here's what we're going to do, okay? To prevent people from even coming from having the possibility of touching this person, this is what I'm going to do. Let's say you can't come within 5 feet of this person. And another rabbi going to come and say, you know what? If they come within 5 feet, that's still kind of close. Maybe we should say they shouldn't come within 10 feet. And then somebody else come along and say, you know what? 10 feet, that's still a little close. Why don't we add, say, don't come into contact within 15 feet? You understand what I'm saying? And I'm just giving this as an example. These are the types of things that Israel did. So they were so focused on doing, and again, to a fault. In no way, shape, or form, and we're going to see as we go through, in no way, shape, or form is it being implied that we don't have to obey the Torah. That's not what's being said. He's talking about Israel right now. They had a zeal, he says, for the Most High, but their zeal was not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of Elohim's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. See? It became about what you was doing. You know, we learned when we was going through Judaism that in order for us to be considered righteous or pious, you're supposed to say 100 blessings a day. That's not where it's at. We look at the service and how everything is just elongated. Because they believe that they're going to be made righteous by saying a whole bunch of stuff. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. I got to do that. And their lives were crammed with saying blessings and all these other attitudes. But they didn't realize what was going on with them. This is what Brother Shaul is really talking about right here. He says, let me start from verse 2 again. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of Elohim, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of Elohim's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of Elohim. They didn't submit to the righteousness of Elohim. Why? Go back to Avram. Avram believed, and it was counted to him for righteousness. They became so focused on what they had to do to doing that, and they missed something. That's why Mashiach said, you do err not knowing the scriptures. They didn't know. You say you believe in Moshe. If you really believed in Moshe, why do you have a problem with what I'm saying? They didn't really believe in Moshe. They got caught up into all the rabbinical dictates. That's what happened to Israel. And they moved away from the simplicity, faith in Elohim. So this is what he's saying here. He says, for Mashiach, because this is the issue that they got. We are not accepting this Messiah. This man is not the Messiah. He's fraudulent. He could never be the Messiah. The only reason they believe that is because they did not believe the Torah. They didn't believe it. They got so caught up in the doing, doing, doing. That's where the legalism part is. See, now what's happening, Christianity, they get rid of that. They think legalism is keeping the Torah. No, it's not. Legalism is all of these additives that Israel put in place. That's what it is. But Brother Shaul was trying to bring to them, for Mashiach is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. But see, here's the word. The end. That's what's getting everybody caught up. And see, it's based on a translation error. One of the things the brother and I was talking about recently, that's why when it comes to translation, people, because we speak English, and we think, it's, you know, the Bible is in English, and we want to put it in a form of fashion that people can understand. But if you don't even understand what this verse is saying, when you translate it, you are going to translate it based patient. So now there's this doctrine that's circulating that you no longer have to keep the Torah. And so when it gets to this, oh, for Christ is the end. There it is right there. Christ is the end of the law. We don't have to obey the law no more. That ain't what he's saying. So let's look up the word telos, which is translated as the end. Everybody still with me? All right. Number 5056. This is in the Greek lexicon, okay? Again, the word is telos. It says, from a primary word, telo, and it has a parenthesis, to set out for a definite point or goal. So that's the word telo, okay? It's derived from, what I rabbi Aki, telos, number 5056, is derived from another term, telo, okay? Which means to set out for a definite point or goal. Now, the word telos, it says properly, the point aimed at as a limit, okay? That is, by implication, the conclusion, okay? Now, what we have to understand about the word, and that's why when it comes to translation, we get to the word and we see this, and we just want to translate it as something simple. The question we have to ask, what is the thought behind this passage? Shaul is not writing this saying that belief in the Messiah means you don't have to observe Torah. That don't make sense. It doesn't make sense. This is what he actually said. After you go through studying the Torah, that's why it's important. When Mashiach said, if you believe what Moshe wrote, he was talking about me. He was talking about me. So this is what Brother Shaul, he understands that now. At one point, he was on the other side of the fence, but now he has been enlightened. Now he understands. He's writing and he's telling them that Mashiach is the goal of the Torah for righteousness to everyone that believes. This is what the Torah is talking about. This is him. He's the one. He is the example. If you keep the Torah the way that it's supposed to be, and you have that faith, you know what you're going to end up as? Yahushua. That's what he's saying. He's not telling us we don't have to keep the Torah if we believe in the Messiah. He says that the Torah actually is what leads us to the Messiah. Remember what the word Torah means. It means to point, to direct. It's derived from a term, or rather, it's related to a term that means to point, to direct. That's where we get the idea of direction or instruction. Okay? That's where we get that definition from. That's where we get that idea from. Torah is not, belief in Mashiach doesn't tell us we don't have to keep it. Because think about this. Think about this. Now I'm just going to run through a couple passages. Some of y'all should have heard, all of you should have heard these passages. Anyway, there's a passage that says that Yahushua is the same. That's the day, today, and forever, right? We familiar with that verse, right? Okay. Yahushua is the same. That's the day, today, and forever. If we have the Holy Spirit, Within another place, it says, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the Spirit of His Son. So basically, like Brother Shaul said in another place, he said, it is not I, but Mashiach in me. How is Mashiach in him? By the Holy Spirit. That's like we read earlier when it said, but we have the mind of Messiah. How? Because of the Holy Spirit. Now, if we have the Holy Spirit in us and the Messiah is the same yesterday, today, and forever, question, will he still be obeying the Torah? Because he walked according to the Torah or to the Word. That's how he was able to be that lamb without blemish. He didn't sin. That's the only way he could fulfill that role. Let's look at some other passages. Now, first thing I want to do before we continue, in the Hebrew lexicon number 2398, I thought this was interesting, so I wanted to touch on this as well. The word translated as sin, all right? And we just want to make a comparison to the word that's translated, I mean, to the word telos and what it means, all right? Now, we already touched on the Torah. I didn't give you the strong number, but you can look that up. You can find that very easily, okay? Now, again, the word Torah is connected to a word which means to point out, to direct, in the sense of, again, like teaching. What does a teacher do? And when we think about the concreteness of the Hebrew language, think about when you was in school and what the teacher's up there doing. And, you know, she's writing something up on the board, and as she's teaching, she's pointing, and she's directing you to look at what it is up on the board. That's why, you know, matter of fact, when we was younger, the teacher actually had a device called a pointer. It was a long, skinny stick with a little white tip, rubber tip on it, and it looked like it's a pen tip, but it was called a pointer, and that's what they did. They used to teach us, and they used to, on the board that they had written up there for us to learn. So again, the whole idea of teaching, directing, instructing, okay? So that's the word Torah. Now, we already see with the word telos that it's talking about the point aim at as a limit. The point aim at as a limit. So if we understand that the Torah is actually pointing and directing us, what we now see is that Yahushua is being said to be, this is what the Torah pointing at. This is what it's aiming at. Okay? Hopefully everybody's following along with that. Now let's look at what sin is. The word for sin is chata, number 2398, chata. All right? Now it says properly to miss. There are four main Hebrew words which express the idea of sin in the Hebrew Bible, with this word used most often. Its central meaning is to miss the mark or to fail. So let's compare that. If you have the Mashiach, all right, let's go through our definition. Mashiach is being said to be telos, the point aimed at as a limit, okay? The Torah, we understand, it actually points or directs you to something. Now that when we put the Torah with telos, we understand that the Torah is pointing or directing us to Yahushua. But chata, if we chata, which means transgression of the Torah, when we commit sin, we miss the mark. We miss what the Torah is pointing and directing us to. Hopefully everybody understands that. That's what Brother Shaul come to the realization of when he received the Holy Spirit. And he realized, my brothers and sisters, they got a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. What did the prophet say? My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. They destroyed for it. Everybody wants to do can do that. But when we do it our way, it is not the way of the Most High, and we miss the mark every time. But when we are obeying, when we're walking according to that Torah,
That is the only time we hit it. In other words, that's where we are most like Yahushua.
Okay. Let's go back to Romans chapter 10. Starting at verse, picking up rather, at verse 5. He says, listen to what he says. For Moshe, the man which does those things, shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Mashiach down. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Mashiach again from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you shall confess with your mouth Yahushua and shall believe in your heart that Elohim has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Again, Brother Shaul is emphasizing that we receive salvation through accepted Yahushua, not from solely obeying the Torah. When we obey Torah, we are led to the belief in Yahushua. Okay? I'm not going to jump, I was going to say, jump into another passage, but we'll look at that another time. But I'll mention it, and, you know, we just reference back to it. That's all. Forget about it. Now, when we understand the Torah, right? Now, when we think about it, one of the problems with humanity, man didn't realize, is that the way of the Most High has always been a work in progress. What I mean by that is this. When it comes to the way of the Most High, it's not some way that's in a box. Or okay, here's the book. This is it. This is the completion of it. This is once you do all these things right here, you're living according to righteousness. That's not the way it is. And I'm going to give you an example of why that's not, because people look at it that way. Don't you know now, they have some Israelites that they found. I sent the video out. I didn't send it to the sisters. I sent it to the brothers, I believe. And in this video, it's talking about, matter of fact, I don't even think I sent it to all the brothers. I sent it to some of the brothers, not everybody. So I had to go back and send it out to y'all. But in the video, matter of fact, it's the guy who did the naked archaeologist. I can't remember his name, Simcha, something like that. He did a series about, you know, Israel, like the lost tribes. And what he was doing, he was going to these different places in the world, and it just so happened they had a group of people who was practicing the Torah. Now, well and good, okay? Well and good. But when you come across some of these people and as proof that they were supposed to be Israel, they said, well, yeah, we've been keeping the Passover, you know, for centuries or however long they said. And they said every Passover, they kill the lamb, and they put the blood on the doorpost, et cetera, et cetera. Wrong answer. That wasn't something that you're supposed to do all the time. You don't supposed to do that every Passover. That was for that one Passover. But you wouldn't know that if you were not being taught by somebody that the Most High has sent. You only need blood on the doorpost when the angel of death was coming through for that Passover to do that all the time. But because they were doing that, in their mind, they are practicing the ways of the Most High, not realizing that it's a progression. No, we don't have to do that. They didn't have to do that when they was in the wilderness. What they were doing, and when we keep Passover, it is in remembrance of what took place at the first Passover anyway. Now, throughout the years that they were practicing that, they were practicing that, because what the creator wanted them to think about
okay, look at the story of the Passover, because what it's actually doing is teaching you about he who's going to come. See, the blood of the bulls and the goats, etc., they never take away the sins. We learn about that in the letter to the Hebrews. They were given to teach you something. When he gave the sacrificial system, he's teaching you something. He made it so expensive. When you look at all the sacrifices that they were offering, I wanted you to realize how serious this, the whole burnt offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, the peace offering, the thanksgiving offering. I want you to realize how important sacrificing is. That's what I want you to get. And I'm going to give you instructions on which animals to sacrifice. They have to be without blemish. You couldn't offer a sheep with a broken leg. That's unacceptable. It has to be in good condition, peak condition. He's teaching us, and then you look at the Passover, right? That's a sacrifice. Somebody's blood is going to be shed. This blood is going to cover you. When you put it on the two side posts, see what the two side posts, see, it's a door, number one. The fact that it was around a door, that's an entranceway. Okay, so now he said the two side posts. Well, the two side posts is what? That's your ears. He says, faith come by hearing. So you're going to hear about something, okay? Right? But then he said, put it on the top. See, that's the forefront of our mind. And be on the forefront of our mind, we got to hear it. Faith come by hearing. So somebody's blood is going to be shed, and when you accept that blood, see, the fact that you put it on a two-side post and put it on a lintel, that means you accepting it. And then he says you're supposed to stay in the house, but the angel of death, when he comes through, he's going to see the blood as a token. Somebody's blood is going to be a token for us. And instead of killing us, instead of us dying, he's going to pass over us. That's pointing to something. He ain't telling us to do that because he wants us to do that all the time. It's a progression, growth, development. Why do you think we were talking about that? The way of the Most High is growing and developing. Think about a human being. We don't stay the same. We always growing. We're getting older by the second, by the minute, by the hour. We never staying the same. Why do you think the way of the Most High stays the same? It's growing. It's developing. But the only way you know that, he has to tell that to you. So everybody got this cookie-cutter definition of what religion is. It's these principles and just these and nothing else. Or it's that. No. We got to accept the Most High as he comes. At some point, changes were made. But it was all part of the progression. So we got to, this is not our thing. The Creator can do with his thing whatever he wants to do with it. And he tells us about it in his word, except we can't see it just from reading. We can't even get it just from hearing somebody telling us what the scriptures say. And it's not going to enter our mind. He has to reveal it by his Spirit. It starts with the teacher who he called and gave his Spirit and revealed it to them. And then he reveals it to others who have that like mind, that Spirit. Hopefully everybody follow, understand what we're talking about. The way it's the Most High is all the religiosity in the world is that he's different from what he's being presented as. And he told us in his word, but we have been taught the wrong thing for years. We've been taught the wrong way. And he tried to get us to see. But we got to have faith in him. We can't rely on our own mind. Yahweh, in all your ways, and he will direct your path. We're not supposed to lean on our own understanding. We don't want to do that. We question the teacher. There's nothing wrong with that. We didn't question the Creator himself. Ask your questions. But don't formulate an opinion about something until you have discussed it with the Creator by way of his servants. But what happens, people get these bright ideas, and now look at what we got. We're using the Bible, saying that we don't have to observe the Torah, and they're using the Bible to try to prove it, and they have been misleading millions of people for centuries. They've misled millions of people for centuries. How many people have died believing that? And they were misled. How many preachers was preaching that till they died? They were misled. They were deceived. That's not the truth. Brother Shaul was talking about.
He says, let's look at something that Mashiach said. Let's make some comparisons. He said, going to Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17.
Speak not Torah or the prophets. Why would he have to say that? Why would they think that? Think about it. Why is it necessary for him to even tell them that unless he knew what was about to take place? That's what they're going to believe.
We read about Brother Shaul. They talking about you, man. They talking about you teaching. You're not. You're teaching people to go against the laws of Moses.
That ain't what he was doing. But the Messiah already knew. That's the mindset they going to have. You know why? Because it was all about do. And it was never about faith in him. Believe in him. Let him lead you and guide you. We don't have it figured out. I don't care if you read the Bible from front to back to front. You cannot figure it out on your own. He has to reveal it to you. That's the only way we get it. So what's the purpose of studying? So he can reveal it to you. That's why we study. We don't study so we can accumulate knowledge on our own. We don't know the word. It's not our word. It's his. The prophecy came in old times by the will of man. He said that holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, right? The reason why he said that, he started off saying that one prophecy of Scripture is not of its own private interpretation. We don't have the right or the authority to interpret the word the way we want to. But people doing it, and they running with it. And they're gaining a lot of followers because they have become eloquent with man's wisdom. See? The world. See? That's why we talked about that. That's why we got that diagram, the seed of the serpent. On that side, anything goes. And it sounds good. Some of us even believe some of those things. No, Abba is doing this thing. And we have to go with the flow. See? Hold up, brother. The Bible says, I'm Yahweh. I change not. Here's what we got. See, when we say that like we know him. It ain't him changing. He going with the flow of what he always intended to do. That's what's being said. Spiritual system was going to end. You don't need the temple anymore. Hold up, what you mean? You don't have to go to, you don't need to go to the temple to offer sacrifices at the point. That one sacrifice was made, that was temporal. You don't have to keep doing that anymore. That was done to build up your faith because I wanted you to practice that I am a concrete thinker and you need something concrete, something that you can touch. Something that you can taste, something that you can smell. So I gave you the sacrificial system so you can practice that over and over and over. But what the problem is you didn't do it in faith. It became mechanical to you. You got so caught up into now, let's do it. So since we don't have the sacrifices, let's add, let's build. Since we're not doing that, let's do this, let's do that, let's do this. No, you missed it. You missed it. Go back to Bereshit. Abram believed, and I counted to him for righteousness. He didn't have a son yet. He just believed, and in my mind, oh, you're righteous for just believing and trusting in me, Abram. Thank you for just believing and trusting for doing that. I'm going to honor you. Go out there. Look at the stars. Stars in the sky. That's how many seeds you're going to have. You're going to be the father of a multitude. So I'm going to change the name from Abram to Abraham, father of a multitude now. That's what we're talking about. Change. See? Change. But it's not change in the form and fashion that the world think it is. It's growth and development. Israel wasn't baptizing. When John the Baptist came on the scene, they approached him and asked him about that. What is it that you're doing, man? Are you Eliyahu? No. Are you that prophet that's supposed to come? No. Then by whose authority are you doing this baptism? Why are they asking that? This was something new. It was something that wasn't done before. People try to make it Jewish by saying it's the mikvah. It was not a mikvah. Wait, no. People wasn't being baptized or taking a mikvah for the repentance of their sins. They wasn't doing that. They may have started doing it after the fact, because if they were already doing it, they would have no reason to question him about it. They questioned him because it's something new that he instituted. Growth and development. So when Mashiach came on the scene, he knew when things start to change, I don't want y'all to think I'm trying to destroy the Torah or the prophet. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Listen to that. Let's go to Luke chapter 24, starting verse 19. I'm just going to read through it because we just finished up Luke. No, we didn't. We just finished up Acts. Luke 24:19. He said to them, what things? And, oh, let me just give you the little backstory. There were two men on the road to Emmaus. They were talking, and then Mashiach happened to walk up on them. And then they started to explain some things, and then he asked the question. He said, what things? They said to him, the things concerning Yahushua the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before Elohim and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who would redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Also, certain women of our company amazed us, having arrived early at the tomb, and when they didn't find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of us went to the tomb and found it just like the women had said, but they didn't see him. He said to them, now this is Yahushua after they gave that explanation, verse 25, Yahushua, he said to them, foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet has spoken into his glory, beginning from Moshe and from the prophets, he explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Hear that? It was a part of the growth and the development. It was supposed to happen that way. This is not me changing or destroying the Torah or the prophets. If you were studying in the first place, being led by my spirit, you would recognize everything happened according to our will. That's what he's saying. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. Let's pick up in verse 18. I'm almost finished for the night, my family. Verse 18, he says, for verily I say unto you,
till the heavens and earth pass. Now, listen to that. So there's several passages. Now, he's about to talk about the Torah, right? And he's going to give you an example of when the Torah is going to be finished. He says, for verily I say unto you, till the heavens and earth pass, right? So now, I got three passages. You can read them for yourself. Isaiah 65:17, Isaiah 66:22. I got four passages, actually. Let me just read them for y'all. Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I create new heavens. This is the Creator talking now. I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things will not be remembered, nor come into mind. This is Yeshayahu, Isaiah. Isaiah 66:22. Again, he mentions it again. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, says Yahweh, so your offspring and your name shall remain. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. Brother Kepha now, he's substantiating it. But according to his promise, we look for new heavens. And the new course, Revelation chapter 21 verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. So what the Messiah is telling us, as long as this heaven and this earth is here, he says, one jot, that's in Greek, iota. That is the Hebrew letter, that would be, rather, the Hebrew letter, yod. One yod or one tittle. The word is karaya. Now, that word, that's a Greek word, by the way, that word, it means like the apex of a letter. And what this teaches us is that during the time Mashiach said that, the Hebrew script as we see it today is what they had. It's about how they were writing those letters. Now, the yod is the smallest letter of all the letters of the 22 alphabets in the modern Hebrew script. And then you have the tittle. Now, if you're familiar and you ever seen it written on like the Hebrew scroll, you'll see it got like a little, like a little design. It's not like a block, like we write when we write it on a board or something. We just write like in a block script. But if you look at the actual Hebrew writing, it's done with, I believe, some type of calligraphy pen, or you have to have some type of skill to it, because when you're writing it, you're going to put a little apex, a little horn, so to speak, on certain letters, not all, but on certain letters, okay? And this is what he's talking about when he says one yod or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the Torah till all be fulfilled. In other words, we, and let me explain this, because this is what we got to understand. There are certain parts of the Torah, somebody recently, when people think about the Torah, 613 commands, that's too many. How can somebody observe 613 commands? Man, let me tell you something. When you become accustomed, let me say this first. As individuals, we are not all obligated to observe 613 commandments. Some commands in the Torah were specifically for priests. That X's everybody else out. You ain't got to worry about that. That's for the priests. Okay, just to give you an example. Some things are for the women. You know, men ain't having no babies, so men don't have to worry about staying out of service for 40 days or 80 days. That's for the women. They're the ones who got to stay out for that time, not us. We don't have to obey that. You understand what I'm saying? So when people say 613, they're throwing out this big number. But I wanted to say that first. But the other piece is this. Do you know how many laws you have to observe within the course of a day to become a law-abiding citizen? Nobody's counting and saying, I observe X amount of law, but it's a lot of them. If you drive, you know how many traffic laws they are that you have to abide by every day? And we become so accustomed to driving and doing them, it's like second nature to us. So when people say, in that context, it's not as hard as you make it out to be, you know? But anyway, he says, verse 19, Matthew chapter 5, whosoever, therefore, shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so. Think about that. Stay out here teaching. You don't have to keep the Torah. He's talking about them.
Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of the heavens. But whosoever shall do and teach, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of the heavens. For I say to you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case kingdom of the heavens. Now, when he says that, what is he talking about? He's going, what we understand now is about righteousness. Righteousness is based on what we believe. He's not telling you to try to outdo the scribes and the Pharisees. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about the faith of Abraham who believed Yahweh and it was counted to him for righteousness. He says that except your righteousness, in other words, you believe because the Pharisees and the scribes, they didn't believe. Some of them, I'm not going to say all of them. Eventually, some of them became believers in Yahushua. Nicodemus, for example. Yosef of Arimathea, who was also one of the leaders, came a believer. Of course, Brother Shaul himself. Okay? But what was the difference? They believed. That's how their righteousness exceeded the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Okay? Now, as was mentioned earlier, I wanted to touch on the passage. When the Messiah says, or when it says that Yahushua is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? And if we understand that when we receive the Holy Spirit, it is the spirit of Mashiach, okay? So if we have the Holy Spirit, and one of the things we learn in Yechezkel, Ezekiel, is that when we receive the Spirit, he will cause us to keep his statutes and his judgments. We shall do that. Now, in Yochanan, which is John chapter 15 and verse 10, Mashiach said this, if you keep my commandments, now see, that's why we had to go through the structure of the Godhead. Christians are of this belief that the Messiah's commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. First of all, that's not new. Torah teaches that. They think the Messiah's commandment is just love, love, love. All the commandments is about love. That's why we went through the Ten Commandments. You have the first five and the last five directed towards humanity. On this hangs all the Torah and the prophets. Love. On these two commands, love the most. What's the greatest command, they ask? What's the first commandment? Shema Yisrael, Yahweh, Elohim, Yahweh, Chad. You shall love Yahweh, your mighty one, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like a sword. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two hang all the law and the prophets, is what he says, right? Okay, it's about love. So when he says, if you keep my commandments, he's not talking about something brand new, something that wasn't already commanded before he came on the scene. He's the one who gave the Torah. He is the word of Yah that at one point was Yahweh, Elohim, who spoke to Moshe, who gave the commandments to Israel from Mount Sinai. That's who talking right now. So when he says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, that's what he's talking about. Then he said, even as I have kept my father's commandments. Now, when people say, even if he has kept my father's commandments, they think he's talking about the commands that was given on Mount Sinai. No, he's not. He's talking about the commandments that be in the word. Whatever the word was commanded to do, that's what he did. I want you to create Adam and Hawa. Okay, Father, I'll do that. I want you to instruct Noah about the ark and prepare for this flood. Okay, I'll do that. I want you to call Abraham. Okay, I'll do that. That's what he's talking about. Those are the things that the word done. That ain't talking about the Torah. He the one that gave the Torah. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Y'all following what we talking about? When he says, even as I have kept my father's commandments and abide in his love. Yes, Father, you want me to be stripped of my glory? You want me to go down in the womb of a woman and really become a man? you remember when I went to visit Abraham, right? and I took two of the Melakim with me, and, you know, I was like a man then. You don't want me to go down there that way. You actually want me to go through the birth canal and be subject to mortality. Is that what you want me to do? Okay, I'll do that. That's what he's talking about. Those are commandments he's talking about. He obeyed from his father and abide in his love. Not the Torah. Peter weren't gave the Torah. Hopefully y'all understand that.
Then we'll stop right here. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the words that are spoken are the word of Yah. Beshem Yahushua HaMashiach. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to the earth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with peace. Hallelujah. Beshem Yahushua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Of your word. I thank you for leading us and guiding us throughout the years as you have done to bring us to a better understanding of what you have given through your servants, the prophets. Abba, I pray that you continue to open our hearts, our minds, that we may receive your word, that we may receive your truth, Abba, that we may all walk worthily of our calling as individuals and collectively as your people, Israel. Abba, where we are weak, make us strong. Help us individual frailties and hindrances and the obstacles that we face from day to day. That we all be submissive to your will, that we all be obedient to your voice. Strengthen us, Father, by your spirit, that we may do all and only those things that are pleasing in your sight. We humbly and we sincerely ask these things in Yahushua's holy and his most precious name. Beshem Yahushua HaMashiach. Hallelujah.
Understanding to you, my He needs to learn to pray.